Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey everybody, it's Blake,
and this is Drew,
and you're listening to the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Welcome to episode 144. Mm-hmm. I can forget the number every time we start. We got a game for you today that we did not beat from a developer that we just keep on playing their games. But we'll get to that shortly. Real quick, I'm going to go through our social media preamble. Even though I barely use the social media, but the most important thing really I would think is coming to our Twitch streams. So we'll be hanging out with our cousin slash podcast editor, Brian. We try to play every Wednesday. We have just completed Dark Souls 1.
Remastered.
We spent a night with FBC Firebreak, which is the most mind-boggling thing we've played recently that a developer put out without any shame. Not sure what that game's supposed to be. And then we've moved on to our most recent sitting was with Zombie Army. We're doing Zombie Army 4. Because I don't think the trilogy, we did Zombie Army Trilogy, but that might have been before we were putting our stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So we played the old Zombie Army Trilogy kind of back to back. They're a little bit shorter. This seems to be much larger and more like a higher quality experience. So we'll see if we're going to play through a metric ton of content this game seems to have. But we do try to play every Wednesday at 9:30 Central Time. So you give us a follow on our social media. Sometimes I post about it, sometimes I don't. But if you follow us on twitch.tv/twosmokingcontrollers, we're definitely on there. And it'll notify you when we go live, of course. After that, like I said, after we do the streams there, Blake takes those videos and posts them to our YouTube channel. On there, we also have the podcast is now on there. Our new distributor makes these neat, converts it to a YouTube video. Not as fancy, not super fancy, but it's just a way to get the podcast somewhere else, so that's on there. So is Blake's playthrough of RoboCop Rogue City, and I think by the release of this podcast, all four episodes of my playthrough of Bramble will be on there. So if you listen to the Bramble episode and you want to see me experience dying a whole lot, you can watch my playthrough of Bramble will be on there as well. And Blake's working on getting something else on there. Should be starting soon. Maybe my next episode we'll talk about what he's he's about to push onto the YouTube channel next. So we'll definitely check out the Twitch and the YouTube channel. That's where our video. If you want to see video games and hear us, we don't put our faces too much on stuff. But if you want see our games and hear more of us, that's the way to go. We also have our store and our Patreon page. Not sure the store's working. our mom tried to buy some stuff and it wouldn't work, so I need to look into that, but I don't know how to look into that without trying to buy something again. So if you go to our store, try to buy something and it doesn't work right, or if it's not letting you, send us an email, and let me know that it's not acting right. I need to look at that again. This isn't really the place for that. But I like to know if it's not working, because it can be kind of dumb if it hasn't been working for a long time and people have been trying to buy stuff. Because the store don't tell me it's not working. It just doesn't work, and then nobody tells us. And our Patreon page obviously has the episodes early. And if you want to name an episode, help us give us a long, ridiculous name for an episode. We'd really enjoy that. And you get the podcast early, and you get... What is it? The I put them on there. Like, we don't have too many of them. We have guest episode videos, and I post those to the Patreon as well. If you want to see who we're talking to, we just don't edit those videos and do anything else with them. I don't want to post like a raw Zoom video to our YouTube channel. It just doesn't seem like the right thing to do. So they're on the Patreon page as well. With all that, yeah, everything, all that stuff, you know, links, everything else. If you want to follow us on social media, I mean, you can. I'm really bad at posting on that stuff, so it's there. You can message on there, and I'll get notified on my phone if you want to talk about anything video game related. We got that. With all that said, we're going to move on to an episode. Well, we have these episodes sometimes of a game that neither one of us beat, but we've got reasons, you know. And funnily enough, I'll talk about it, but I read another, like me and Blake were talking about the game last night a little bit, and I read another post online with a person pretty much saying the same thing we thought about this game. So I think it's kind of maybe a bit of a universal issue with this game.
All right. Ed, so the game we're talking about is called Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden. It is developed by Don't Nod, who's a company we have spoken about before.
You'd almost think this was a Don't Nod podcast. We talk about every single one of their games, basically.
I mean, you say that, we really haven't.
Well, they're back when they first started getting. If they have anything before Life is Strange, we probably didn't know. Well, we didn't talk about Remember Me.
That's because the only thing they have before Life is Strange.
Then we talked about every single game. Like, we've talked about Remember Me in passing because that game was out on 360 before we were doing the podcast. So we've played, we may have played almost all of their games.
We only played half.
Half? I don't know. I don't know if they're putting out.
They'll get to it.
We've talked about it a bunch of times, I guess. But
Don't Nod, they're from Paris, France. They have two separate studios. A total of about 320 employees. They've been around since May 1st of 28. They said they have 12 games. They have Remember Me, Life is Strange, Vampire, The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, which is a spinoff of Life is Strange, Life is Strange 2, Tell Me Why, Twin Mirror, and then these last couple of games I haven't heard of. There's Harmony, Fall of Revere, Jusant, Banishers, which we're talking about, something called Lost Records of Bloom and Rage, and then they have something coming out next year called Amphillion.
Yeah, I know of the other games. Tell Me Why is free on Xbox. It's basically, I think people assume it's part of the, there's no magical powers, I don't think, but it seems like the same kind of genre as the Life is Strange. It's been free on Xbox forever. So I always see posts about it, like
there's superpowers in it.
There is. Okay. I know it's about two people. Like, it's like a love story or something. I don't know.
It's brother and sister.
Or something like that. But I always see posts about it. Like, oh, it's free on Xbox. I was like, it's been free for years. Or it's on Game Pass. Like, it's like a weird thing that they've never really tried to sell. But I thought I would always play it if they were going to leave Game Pass. Just Stomp was on Game Pass. We missed it when it was leaving at some point. Or it might still be on Game Pass. I'm not sure. And Reverie, you said, is on our...
Yeah, Harmony, Fall of Reverie.
Yeah, that is on our Xbox wish list, so we know about it. So we're probably going to keep messing with this developer, even though we don't enjoy most of what we do with them.
Yeah, unfortunately.
If people will recall, go back, listen to our... I don't know if it was even when we were doing one game by itself. We talked about Vampire. And it was one of the most... It's similar to this, except this game's not as difficult. Vampire is a beautiful game that could have been... Like the idea is so awesome. Same thing with Banishers. But Vampire, remember how hard Vampire was, even on easy?
It's stupidly difficult.
For no reason, when you should be like a vampire growing in strength. Oh, I guess if I was playing like the good path, you should have been super strong playing the bad path, killing everybody. But the game was just like so difficult for no reason. And we thought it was kind of because, like, original thought was because this developer doesn't really know action games, but their first game was an action game. And we played Remember Me all the way through, start to finish. Mm-hmm. So Vampire was just a beautiful game. It had that, one of our favorite composers. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he's a... It was a beautiful game, good graphics. It's like the gameplay mechanics were fine. Everything about it was fine except the st- stupid difficulty.
I think we did end up beating it, but I was
mad almost so often. It's like every time you get into combat, you're just pissed off. And it was just like, God, this sucks, man. Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as I can tell, the times we've legitimately spoken about them in depth, at least, was on episode 11 when we did Vampire. And then episode 31, we did Life is Strange 2. And then True Colors, but that's not them anymore.
It's not them, no.
Life is Strange isn't them anymore.
We hated Life is Strange. I remember when I hated Life is Strange too. It was so bland compared to the first one. And then like even when we talked about, even though they didn't do True Colors was vastly better.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it was like the way they designed it, because they wanted it to be like one of those like open road movies or open road thing where every episode you were with a different group of people, so I had no emotional attachment to them because I was never going to see them again.
Well, that's part of the problem, and the other part of the problem was that the two main brothers weren't interesting. The main cast weren't interesting.
Yeah, because the one of them didn't have superpowers, but
that ain't the problem. The problem is they just didn't make it interesting.
Well, we had vastly different endings, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Based off the AI that you're... You know, because your brother
they talked up the AI for that one.
Yeah. But like I said, they've been doing... It's weird because everything I look at, and unfortunately, including Banishers, but it was like Banishers, Jacent, Harmony, and Lost Records. They're like, despite having like critical people, or like people love them. They have great reviews. They're like sevens, eights, nines. You know, every single time one of the games come out, Dontnod says, it failed to meet our expectations. What are you expecting?
What are they, Square Enix?
I don't know. But every time a game comes out, just despite its critical success, critics and people talking about how much they love it, the commercial success, they're like, it failed to meet our expectations on like the last four games.
They must have some wacky CEO or something.
Yeah. Or at the same time, like with Banishers.
Of course, all these games come out. I mean, aside from us playing them, you're like, is your little world of video games? Do you hear anybody talking about any of these games?
No, not really. No offense to them. It just, like they haven't had, like I said, Life is Strange. It was like the biggest, like, you know, I don't think they're ever top that, which is
sad because they only made two of them.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, regardless of them still being like, it's not meeting our, you know, our expectations or whatever, they are still doing financially well enough that as of a couple years ago, as of 2022, they have started third-party publishing, and they've put out three games so far.
They've probably done that to make money, honestly.
No.
More than anything. They would have done that to, if their games ain't making enough money to meet their... That's a CEO decision.
Well, I don't know.
Or a CFO decision. It's like, oh, our stuff's like not doing well enough. We got to find another avenues for money. I mean, I don't know the inner workings of a company, but like that sounds like a CEO decision.
Well, I don't...
Just trying to scrape together pennies to keep the company going.
Yeah, well, I don't know exactly when, based off their history. But I do know we've spoken about their owner, which is a Japanese company called Tencent.
Yeah. They're like... It's like becoming a thing where Tencent almost owns video games. Like, in general. It's ridiculous. It's like, we don't get too deep into that conversation. You can trace them back to owning just about everything you play in video games. And it's getting worse and worse as they buy more and more. What's the other dirty word? Tencent's not as...
Embracer.
Embracer Group. Tencent and Embracer. See, Tencent, like, quietly buys everything. Embracer buys stuff and then openly rips things apart. And that's why you see Embracer's name more. Tencent, I see mentioned across other video game podcasts, too, as they just soak up freaking everything to make money. But they're not... I don't want to say they're good, but they're not as... openly, like, just wrecking and closing companies as fast as they buy them, as much as Embracer Group is.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I get...
It's like, if Embracer had bought Dontnod, we would never get the name right.
Name has an apostrophe.
Dontnod. If Embracer had bought them and that said, you know, they aren't performing as well, the company would be gone already. It'd literally buy a company with a history like them. A history of mild success is not good enough for Embracer, but Tencent maybe is coasting on. It's like, well, I don't give them the credit of THQ Nordic, who has been quiet for a long time.
A little bit,
The company bought up a lot of cool stuff, and they've been quiet. We're not going to get into we're getting off in the weeds here. But Tencent's, knock on wood, as I knock on wood, and then later today I'll read that they've closed one of our favorite, you know, who knows who they own. They'll cancel and close something later today, that now that I give them any kind of credit for not being like Embracer Group.
I was looking here just to try to figure it out. It says that in January 2021, they announced that Tencent had acquired a minority stake in the company for 30 million euro.
Yeah. Oh. I wonder why.
Well, it says it grant. Now, this is where the funky bull honky happens. Well, it says them acquiring a minority stake granted the option to appoint a member to their board and investments group, which then allowed Dontnod to continue to self-publish their own titles and expand into the Chinese market with primarily the mobile game sector.
Oh, God.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
So that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you got
to
think they're
Tencent's billionaires wanting to make more billions.
Yeah.
Just like Embracer.
Yeah, but it's the...
This is the dirty stuff behind gaming that people don't really want to hear.
No, but I mean, it affects everything,
yeah.
Unfortunately. And it's one of those things, too, the more you think about it, it's like people talk about, ooh, Hollywood and the movie industry makes so much money, but it's not a drop in the bucket.
Compared to video games.
And people don't understand that.
Yeah, they have no idea.
The video games, it's one of those funny things, that video games don't get near talked about enough, they don't get... commercials and stuff and advertising like movies do, but you don't like, they're like, ooh, this one, you know, like video games make several hundreds of billions of, like, just the industry as a whole, like, it's insane.
Much bigger than you think it is.
Yeah, and people just don't really think about that, but it's weird because that minority stake that Tencent got, minority is still 42% of the company.
God.
That's still a pretty massive minority.
And they'll snake in to get more.
Yeah, like I said, they're already trying to do that other stuff, but we'll see. And I think the media expectations, that's probably not Dontnod, it's probably Tencent, because they're not making enough money for the shareholders or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it takes to be...
It's like somebody that runs the part of Tencent that acquired it, buys stuff, does a light Google of somebody, and that when you lightly Google Dontnod, you get Life is Strange, the success of Life is Strange. Yeah. That's what you get on a light Google, like, oh, we should buy that.
Yeah, but like I'm looking,
they're not even making those games anymore because they don't look beyond the initial Google of success. It's like, oh, buy them.
Because they said they have the two studios. They have the Dontnod. Paris and then Dontnod Montreal is kind of just go, one studio makes one game, one studio makes another game, and they're trying to pump up their volume.
I want to get back to talking about games. Yeah. You give Dontnod credit that even though we don't like everything that they do necessarily, or makes us mad, they have a history of making unique games.
Fairly good quality.
They're nearly AAA, as close as you can get to AAA without somebody calling them a AAA studio. They're on the cusp, I feel like. They're close. I mean, they might as well, because Banishers is a very high quality game.
Yeah.
But I think what's cool about Dontnod and why we'll keep playing their games is because every time you play one of their games, sometimes you wouldn't, if you're not like us and you don't know that you're playing a Dontnod game, their genres and what they jump through and the different kind of games they make, they don't have this is a Dontnod game, but here, this is the style. Like, they just keep
well, you can
making,
kind of tell
they make it. Well, if you follow the Life is Strange and the Tell Me Why thing, I get that. But like, you tell me Vampire and Banishers are... And any, you would know that was the same developer?
I mean, not necessarily.
Or Just Dance. Do you remember seeing Just Dance? We saw it on Game Pass. Like, you look at that game.
It's like a puzzle game, platformer.
And then you look at, you would say, Harmony and Reverie?
Yeah, Harmony is like a comic book style.
Exactly. Game. It looks completely different. Now, it may be in similar style, maybe, to a Life is Strange, but with a different graphic style. But like, you look at this history of games, and at least every time they seem like they're taking some sort of swing.
Yeah,
because the premise behind Banishers is really cool.
And they tend to be they're all narrative driven.
I guess there's a lot of
narrative driven or character driven.
There's a lot of narrative. And I say that sometimes that's the best part of Vampire. You know, when Life is Strange is landing, it's the best part. The best part of Banishers is the narrative.
Yeah.
You know, I would assume just in the other game.
The story between the characters. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's maybe the commonality that you can attach to the thing. But when it comes to like, they're not just making Life is Strange games.
Well, I can see why people would think that they're very similar. Because you look at Life is Strange 1, Life is Strange 2. You look at Tell Me Why, Twin Mirror, and this Lost Records.
Is Twin Mirror, is that the one we played? Or is that a different one?
Black Mirror.
Played Black Mirror. So what is Twin Mirror?
Twin Mirror is it is an adventure gameplay. Let's see here. That's kind of cool. Twin Mirror has the use of something called the Mind Palace, where there's an investigator and he's going around. Well, actually, Coal Miner's Haven Bar. Isn't that the same place as... Okay, yeah, it says that his ability is to go to his mind palace, and it has a couple of different expansions on his ability.
We can't get it on GameFly, so let me... Remind me later to look for it on Xbox. We'll add it to our Xbox wish list, probably, if it's on there.
But like between, because like I said,
I think we played this this low budget nothing game Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, yeah.
And then not this Twin Mirror.
Yeah. But like I said, Tell Me Why, Twin Mirror, Harmony, kind of, because it is narrative driven, though it's a different art style. And then you have this one that is called Lost Records, and they're hoping to turn that into its own thing, do a continuing. Well, that one actually sounds kind of cool because it focuses on
the Rage and Bloom.
Yeah, Bloom and Rage.
Bloom and Rage.
It's two parts. They have part one, and actually, I think as of this record, part two has now come out. But it's four girls, four teenage girls talking, you know, hanging out during the summer of 1995 and talking about their unbreakable bonds. Mm-hmm. And apparently, something happens, and they don't speak again for 27 years. And part one is what's going on, and then part two is apparently them speaking again for the first time in 27 years, and it's a group of friends.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming to... It's already on our queue. Mm-hmm. Lost Records. This looks like a don't nod.
Yeah.
This looks like... I already got it on our GameFly, apparently.
Yeah, it's tape one and tape two, I guess, because 95...
Yeah, it looks like it comes out August 7th, so it comes out...
Like a complete version comes out August 7th? Okay.
Yeah. So it looks like they complete August 7th, and that's why it's already on our game file. So yeah, it looks like that's... So we'll be playing that, of course. A passing video, this looks on game file. This looks like a Life is Strange game, but maybe it'll be...
Well, I think that they're trying to... maybe they're trying to get back to their bread and butter, because they've never been... Unfortunately, they've never been more successful than that.
Yeah.
And I you know... Yeah, right here it says, I'm looking at this thing, it says September of 24, Dontnod investors were told Justant Banishers did not meet the expectations and that they're reworking future releases to appeal to a wider audience. And then it says that there was apparently in January earlier this year, there was a strike, it's in French, a syndicate, travelers...
We gotta talk about video games.
Yeah. Sorry.
We're getting way off in the weeds on this.
Well, it's interesting because you start reading about it and you're just like, you know.
Yeah, it's depressing. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
This is like somebody like, I mentioned like in passing that they've been kind of quiet recently, but it's just, they seem more like a developer that THQ Nordic should be helping.
Yeah, for sure.
These nearly like these in between AA and AAA, these in between companies, that's THQ Nordic's bread and butter. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where they should be, not this... trying to appeal to a wider audience, like nonsense that everybody's always chasing, you know.
Okay, yeah. Well, just one last thing, and then we can kind of hop into it. But I'm just reading right here that the Lost Records Bloom and Rage. It says that it also includes. It says the core development team actually includes members of the original team that made the first Life is Strange, and it is meant to kickstart its own universe. So they're trying to.
Well, what sucks about that is the Life is Strange universe went nowhere.
Yeah.
It had some cool moments, but like it didn't like build into like a as they loosely hinted as they tried to do little after credit scenes, another bull honky that it just never panned out until like a, even with the kid, whatever that kid Incredible, whatever that was,
Captain
Spirit,
or...
Captain Spirit, like all the, they did all this stuff to try to build into something And the problem with those games, if anything, is a problem with them, is they all build up, and that the game builds up, and then all those games just peter out. Mm-hmm. Even all of them do. Like, even the first one, and then the new, like, the later, like, it builds up into some cool stuff, and then they, like, was it going to connect to something, and they just go, pff.
Barely.
And, like, nothing ever comes of it. You can't keep teasing a connected universe and then never do anything.
Yeah, because I think even in the second one, the big, big thing is in, like, episode 4. When the kids are in, like, the Colorado Canyons or something, one of the dudes living in a camper van near your aunt is David, who's, like, Chloe's stepdad, who left after mm-hmm. But that's it. And then it's a
vague, vague connection.
Yeah. And you have to kind of, like, work for that connection.
We forgot about the new one.
Double Exposure.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Which is even Don't Not. It's the other company.
Yeah, but it's continuation.
Yeah, but it flopped pretty hard, apparently.
Yeah. That being said, the publisher is Focus Entertainment, which we've spoken about a couple of times. They're pretty popular. When we talked about Surge, this is a spiritual successor to Vampire. That's what they called it.
That's loose as hell.
They said it themselves that it started as a spiritual successor to Vampire. I see it
starting there, but yeah, it's got a wider scope, I would say. Too wide, as we'll get into.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to start? Or I can do a little bit of, like, overall intro.
I mean, I say, like, the premise of this game is really cool. And also didn't know, there'll be a little bit of spoilers in here. We didn't beat this game, so we don't know where it ends up. But the premise of this game is really cool, is you play as these this husband and wife team of, they're called Banishers. And basically the Banishers' jobs, it seems like, is to go around and address supernatural issues.
They're ghost hunters primarily.
I mean, basically they're basically ghost hunters, but they don't go and just kill ghosts. They go and you spend the best part of this game is talking with ghosts and figuring out why they died or what their unfinished business is and helping them complete it. It sounds basic, but that's the best part of this game, is the hearing these stories and that we're talking top-notch voice acting again from this company. They have a history, I think, of really, really strong voice actors and stuff like that. But that's the best, that's the coolest part of is who they are and what they do. What I didn't know about the game when we started, it happens fairly early, is they add an extra layer to this as his wife. I don't even remember their names. It's been too long.
I can go into that a little bit. We have our two main characters. They are Antea Duarte and Red McCraith.
Red McCraith.
So Antea is voice acted by Amaka Okafor. She's a little smaller, only done about 35 things. Primarily, they've been British plays, podcasts, and audio dramas. Mm-hmm. This is she's only done 2 video games, which was this one, and she has a named character, but we haven't played the game. But in Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon Forbidden West.
God, I need to play.
And she has voice work in that. Now, Red McCraith, played by Russ Bain, which is still kind of a cool name.
Russ Bain, that's a cool name.
He's a little bit bigger. He's 57 things. And he's worked in several different videos kind of all over the place, but they include Mutant Year Zero, Magnus. He was one of the characters you could pick. He's one of the ones we didn't pick because he was just a kind of a double up, but he was Magnus. He did voice work in Anthem. He did Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire.
Yeah, I couldn't get into the first game, so I didn't play the second.
He's also done work in Horizon Zero Dawn. Then he did stuff in Telltale Game of Thrones, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2.
Yeah, I played Hellblade 2.
XCOM 2 and Mass Effect Andromeda. What I thought was kind of funny, because he has a mix of live action and video games, but I focused on the video games. But he has his very first live action role he ever did was in a music video. But he played the unnamed protagonist in the Muses Knights of Sidonia music video. Which I thought was worth mentioning, since we're an on-again, off-again fan of Muse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of cool,
but it's a fantastic of job.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but what you don't know, and I don't know if any trailers spoil it, but it's a spoiler. But
I think it spoils.
It happens pretty early in the game. Is that you're there's a really powerful ghost. I forget what it's called.
I think it's just called the Nightmare.
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah, and then you kind of chasing it the whole game, for at least a good part of the game that we were playing. But the Nightmare actually kills. What's her name?
Antea.
The Nightmare actually kills Antea, and she becomes a ghost, but she's still with you, and you start getting these different kind of, like, ghost abilities as she absorbs ghost essence from the other ghosts you fight and then ghosts you help and stuff like that. And she starts to, you know, she starts, this is a side of their job that they never knew because, you know, but then they, you take it early on. It's like a, actually it's like a choice thing. It's kind of like a BioShock or anything like that, where you make it early. You gotta make it pretty early, I think. Otherwise you risk a neutral ending, but there's like a good and a bad kind of thing where like you decide whether you got to release ghosts or have her absorb them. And I think her absorbing them is bad.
Yeah. You have, and it leads to her ascent or banishment.
Or her absorbing whatever she does. So her absorbing them is bad because, like, I suppose it's unnatural. Like, she needs to be banished. Unfortunately, this is the part that I was interested in that I wanted to see the end of what it results in is me, like, banishing everything. So she wasn't, like, because she, they have a conversation, the two characters do, and you make a choice that, like, at the end of, when they defeat the nightmare, that he will banish her, he will ascend her, or he will try to resurrect her. And resurrecting is bad. It's resurrecting a ghost is always bad, but you do that by she does absorbing all this power from all these defeated creatures and things, these other ghosts. So I wonder of the two, you know, of the two ending, the two major plot, the two major decisions that you carry through. But unfortunately, you can mess up. Apparently, you can kind of, if you don't dedicate yourself to one side or the other, you can lock yourself into like a neutral, some sort of neutral ending.
Halfway through, there's an achievement. I think it's about halfway through where you reaffirm your oath.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Yeah, I know.
It's like the is
and I was
the
doing the I was doing I was going to ascend her and Blake was going to keep her around because we were interested in the first couple of hours of this game. Mm-hmm. So that's the setup, and that's I mean if you don't think that's interesting or cool, this might not be a game for you. But I think the setup for it and the initial couple of hours is really really interesting.
And the game itself is it's dense. And the best part about it is almost immediately you do have access to fast travel whenever you discover these little campsites that you can do. And it doesn't sound very big because you're like, oh, the game's only split into 5 regions. But those regions, like I said, are dense with story and characters and all this other stuff. And it gets, for Drew, I don't think it was that awkward because Drew was like, you know, ascending people, making them, you know, go to heaven or whatever. And I was making people blame themselves for their actions. And then I was subsequently banishing them or sending them to hell. And it made things incredibly awkward whenever I would banish somebody and then I had to go talk to their relative because their relative was like the shopkeep for the little area I was in. And it did make things very, very awkward.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, you know, way to handle it. Mm-hmm. So the game, I want to talk about good stuff, but I will say the problem with the game, in which you'll read everywhere, and I bet it's in reviews, and it's weirdly in every single post about this game, is the game is just too big.
Yeah.
It's too big, and getting around is, I read last night is that I got exhausted just getting around the world, and I completely agree.
Well, on top of that, it also has like a Metroidvania thing where as you progress through,
which can be a good thing. Metroidvania can be fun, but everything is so big.
It's so big, and even with a map that's not all. I mean, I think the map was pretty good. Map was pretty good, but you're just like, it's just a big sigh. You're like, I don't really want to have to go back.
Yeah,
because that's one of the things is I kept having to go back, and when you would go back, even to an area that you quote unquote completed, you'd go back and you'd have to deal with the ramifications of the choices and stuff. And I'm like, that's really cool world building and everything.
Yeah,
but I'm like, I spent About 25 and a half hours I spent on.
That's where I was, 25 and a half hours and didn't beat the game.
And didn't beat the game. And just when you look at other games, I have a screenshot here just so that I could have reference to the other game, the spiritual successor. I went back and I looked at my vampire game.
Mm-hmm.
So Vampire says it takes between 40 and 50 hours to get the 1K. I have played 44 hours, almost 45 hours of Vampire, and I beat the game. I didn't get the 1K, but I did beat the game at 44 hours and was mad and struggled the whole time.
My Vampire was 35, almost 36 hours, and I did beat it as well.
Oh, why was mine so much longer? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Anyway, but for this, for Vampires, it said, not for Vampire, but for Banishers.
I beat Vampire without killing any citizens.
Well, that's the good ending. I killed everybody. Or I killed a lot of people, I think.
I did stick with my guns all the way through Vampire.
But that's like 40 to 50 for that. And they're like, okay, so we're going to do Banishers, which is a spiritual successor. And according to TA, it's between 60 and 80 hours.
That's for a completion, though. You got to take that with a grain of salt. People who just want to play straight through,
yeah,
which we were just trying to just play and enjoy. We quit at 25 hours out of exhaustion.
Yeah,
of just tired of playing.
Yeah, but you're like, because it's like, you know, you're still like 1.5 the size or the time.
Exactly. Know. Well, the good thing about Vampire is Vampire. I mean, Vampire was technically based in one area. You just had different sections
of that town.
You were in that big city, so you didn't.
This is a larger peninsula, maybe.
Yeah, this is a lot. There's an outside. There's through the woods and through the mountains and through the caves and through the swamp area. You explore a ghost dimension sections of some parts of it.
Well, the whole island, you switch back and forth because of what she can see.
Yeah, because you can see through her eyes, whatever.
Yeah, because you guys are
just cool, yeah. Which is cool. Like, okay, so we know. So we say the game's too big. And combat's not, and it's like a company that just can't land combat. Mm-hmm. Like this game isn't hard like Vampire. Like it has difficulty settings, there's just too much combat. Like you're running, like there's a lot of running around and there's a lot of combat. But what you want, unfortunately, is like this game would have worked better if it was just a Life is Strange with ghosts, like this style. Like if this was just a walking and talking and helping ghosts, you know, like through conversation. Because some of these ghosts you help through conversation were just finding a lost item and bringing it back and they're okay. Then that would be boring. But if you make this game just about moving from place to place and helping ghosts and giving your wife the power or banishing whatever in a game that maxed out at 25 hours,
mm-hmm.
This game maybe would have got more notice. And I think this game would have got more notice and would have won awards because games live or die sometimes by people talking about them. And if people are only saying this game is too long, this game is too big, this combat's not fun, and that's the negative world side of things. Nobody's saying like, This world, the setup, the characters, the voice acting, the idea is all extremely cool and very, very fun and very interesting. You just, that's like the side of the game that you do the least. Yeah. There's so much running around in the mountains, in the woods.
Exploring and doing combat. Now, if it was a thing.
Which is weird because what's the formula that works? Because we're big on God of War 2018 and Ragnarok. That's majority of what you do is you run around and explore and solve puzzles. But why is it? I don't know. Why is it fun in that game, but not fun in this game?
I think you can clear an area out,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't stay cleared out.
Neither do God of War doesn't either. I don't think to an extent.
I think so.
Having an area to stay clear would be good because then you run back through and like, oh, I can now ghost jump up here to get this item I couldn't get before. Yeah. Cool. And I get something that I want.
Because admittedly the nightmare was like, it's the most evil thing we've ever encountered. It's so strong. And so I guess the point is, like, maybe you ran back through areas and didn't fight stuff. Maybe it was cleared out. I don't really remember. Well, no, because you still cleared out the ghost and the monsters, but every now and again you still had to fight wolves and crap. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And every, like you said, every, there's so much combat, and each combat so much was combat. So long.
Yeah, they're overly long because things spawn continually. Instead of running into like a group of like two or three wolves or like a goat, you do fight other ghosts, more wild ghosts, I guess you would say. But they continually spawn and spawn and spawn and spawn in like waves. And just like, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this so long? And if it was like only like set piece bosses were did that, it would be different. But it's like every single combat, and you're in combat every 5 minutes.
It's a lot.
Whether you're running across the map or talking to somebody, you're in combat almost all the time. Especially it sucks when you're just trying to get somewhere, you know.
Yeah, and then I'm like I said, there's a lot of cool, like really cool ideas and concepts, and just everything in the world and all the characters you do encounter. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that in the world building,
because all the side ghost stories, the ones that are, you can skip them too, but like you want to do them all, they all do have their two or more, but generally two different ways you can decide how to handle them. Now, granted, you're like, oh, it's boring, you're just choosing an A or B, but if you're in this game for what you're in it for is the writing and the story. You have a chance to solve these ghost stories and two very usually distinct different ways. And that's the interesting stuff, is talking to the ghost and figuring out, you know, what happened.
And well, the other thing too is, for me, as I would banish ghosts and they would go away, some additional storylines would go with them. You would get extra stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, they still, you would get a little bit more of a conversation. I feel like you could cut people off and just banish them. I feel like it's part of your
playthrough. One of the first things you do, it's the tutorial.
Tutorial, yeah. You get a choice, yeah.
You have a man, and he's like, I can't find my friend. My friend's lost in the mist. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being, what was it? I think the friend... What happens is the friend killed his friend, and then he ate him.
Mm-hmm.
But he killed him. He didn't accidentally kill him. He's saying it was an accident, but it turns out that he killed him on purpose because he was hungry. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have any food, and they were lost in the woods or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like, you can forgive him and be like, oh, it's not your fault, and your buddy forgive, because you can talk to the buddy, and the buddy's even like, I understand why he did it. It's messed up, but I forgive him because he's like, he made.
I want my friend to live, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, but then you can blame him, and the living person, and send them to hell. But then
the living person?
Yeah, you can blame him because he was a living person. Mm. You can blame him and like, you know, kill him, essentially. You murder him. But then later on, there's a story, like, and all we did, we went back out there, and there's like, ooh, there might be a werewolf in the area. Or, no, I investigated an area that got attacked, and they're like, oh, we've never seen marks like this, and it leads you to believe that there is a werewolf. But then the storyline just ends. You went back, and you actually fought a werewolf you encountered and spoke with, because you actually talked.
Because the guy was still alive?
Yeah, I think he ended up turning into, like, it was a wendigo, because it's a man who eats human flesh. It's not exactly a werewolf,
but different sides of it. So all
I did when I went back there is I investigated the camp area and be like, well, I guess we can't find anything here, and it said ended.
Yeah,
but you actually investigated and, you know, passed the initial encounter after when you went back to revisit the guy. Mm-hmm. But you do a lot of going back and revisiting the people, and I'm like, I'm trying to move forward. There's a lot of game here. Why am I having to go back to like?
You're going back to see the result of your consequences would be fine if you didn't spend 10 hours running back through the mountains and woods doing other stuff and then coming back here. Granted, you have the fast travel to the campfires, but mm-hmm. like, I don't know. And you have like, and who knows how many more settlements we had. We had the initial settlement where you have a handful, half a dozen different things to do. And you do this huge trek through the mountain, like massive trek to the mountains to get to this other camp on the other side of the mountains. You do that for a while to another four, five, six, you know, half dozen stories in the area. And then you move on to the next place. I don't remember what the next, where you end up with the next
place. There are a total of five regions. There's the Darkwoods, the Meyer Marshes, Mount Pleasant, the Harrows, and New Edentown.
So I got as far as maybe the Harrows, possibly.
Because I think you and me both did the Darkwood and the Meyer Marshes. And at the Meyer Marshes, the game splits going north and going south. One of us went north, the other one went south, unbeknownst to the other one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of just the path that I went.
You do have the choice.
You do have a choice of going north or south. And then when as you're going through the game, because you're in New Eden Town at the very beginning of the game, and you meet all these like town officials, like the mayor and then, you know, the treasurer and stuff like that. You meet like these high end, like the lead hunter. And then it turns out that the leader of each of these settlements is someone who escaped from New Eden Town when the nightmare took over and everyone left the village. And so, like, you do the math. You're like, okay, well, shoot, okay, I got... So, So, at least 25 hours in, I was at two-thirds or three-fifths of the way done with the game. And I was like, I'm ready for this to be over with. I don't want to have to do all this one more time.
Yeah.
And then do the end game.
Again, we're back at... I want to get back at... And we don't know, like, what... I'm like 60-something, 60, 70-something hours into, like... Odyssey. And it's all you do is go from place to sections like this. This game is a drop in the bucket to the size of Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute drop in the bucket. What about running through an area and doing stuff? God, this is like an existential thing. What about it is, what is this game doing wrong? That, like, why am I still playing like 60, 70 hours of Assassin's Creed when I was bored out of my mind at 25 hours of this game?
I think two things. We game-flied Banishers, and so we had like a bit of a time limit on it, or we just kind of like, I'm done with it. We didn't spend any money on it. Let's just kind of be...
Possibly.
You spent actual money on...
Odyssey's on Game Pass.
Oh, Odyssey's on Game Pass. I don't know, because
I am more interested, let's say I'm more interested in Ghosts...
In the concept.
...than I am in Roman times. I mean, I have a little loose...
Well, Odyssey is Greek.
Well, Greek, Rome...
They're different.
Whatever. It's all the same. Anyway, but what? Like, I don't know. I would like almost somebody like a developers would have a if I have a developer on have a conversation, or somebody else have a conversation about what's the difference? Why do I play so much more of this, but it's so little of this, and the gap of boredom and stuff there. The same thing right now. I just hit the 40-hour mark. In Death Stranding 2, and all I'm doing is, you know, what you do in Death Stranding, but 40 hours, I'm ready to go turn it on right now and continue, but I couldn't take 25 hours, I was like, I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah, I don't know
I wonder I feel like it's a good, interesting question, like, but we don't have
philosophical
the...
Philosophical question?
I'm just philosophical, or if it's like a... What's in a video game? Like, what is this? I wish people were like, so we had another person here what is this difference? Because like, we're like, I'm not going to re-game fly this game, because at this point I would have to start over, even though I want to see where this game goes. I want to see the story of where the game goes. I don't want to play the game anymore, but I wanted to figure out what happens with your wife, whether you ascend her or keep her. Like, what? It's two vastly different things that could happen. And think about all the different ghost stories that we didn't see.
Yeah,
you know, when we talk about the swamp witch too. There's this swamp witch lady you talk to, which is pretty cool. She's like a minor hub, mm-hmm. and you're talking to her about different things, and like, they have a history with her. Like, they know her.
She's the lady who taught Antea's teacher,
basically. Yeah. So there's that, like, all this interesting stuff, but, you know, but I'm not going to, like, sometimes I don't think we've ever had a game we've quit that we've talked about on the podcast, and I've really wanted to go back and, like, maybe I should try again. Like, it's just not going to, because I would have to replay everything again. It's just not going to happen. Like, I'm just never going to know, like, on a storyline that I was enjoying, we're just never going to know what happened on this. Because I can't just go YouTube an ending. Because there's the gap between where we were, the storylines. Because you're not just doing, like, when you're doing the side stories too, mm-hmm. you're building on to their relationship as well. Because they're both dealing with the consequences of what they're doing together. So there's all that story between where we quit to where we. So I can't just Google an ending and just watch the good ending or the bad ending. Because I lose all the context.
Yeah.
You know, should we have stuck with it? Maybe. You know, because it was interesting, but I just can't. I won't be able to go back.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just I don't know. And I was liking it, but I think
it's weird we quit around the same time frame, but in different areas.
Yeah. Well, because we both knew we had a whole extra to go. I think a couple of things. There is combat, which is tedious because you're just doing combat's not exactly fun. Mm-hmm. It's like a chess match that goes on for too long. You have to, like, defend, block, parry, and then depending on who you are, because Red's human, while Antea is a ghost, but you can bounce back and forth between the two of them in combat. Antea uses her fists and punches people and builds up stun, while Wraith has a gun, a flintlock rifle, and his sword. And you have to, like I said, each combat is a puzzle. Who can I use? Combat was not fun. And you do that most of it. Combat was not fun.
A lot of blocking.
A lot of blocking and parrying. Traversal was not fun a lot of the time. The game looked gorgeous. And when you were running around and not fighting things, and you just had to like hold A to jump over some things or slide under some stuff, you're like, this game, it's really cool. And you're like, oh, I really didn't run that far. I just fought 10 fights between this camp and this cabin. Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the other things that annoyed me was about 80% of the buildings you come to that aren't, I think even sometimes in town, but like about 80% of the buildings you come to, it's a puzzle on how to get into the damn building. Do I have to be ghost? Do I have to be human? Oh, I have to shoot this charm because I can't use my ghost when I have these ghost charms. And so that's again, the most annoying thing, because that didn't even come available until after the marshes. Were these ghost charms? Because when I went up to the Harrows, and
I also feel like you could see them, you couldn't interact with them until the game told you you could.
Well, there's that other thing too. Is you went up to Mount Pleasant, I went down to the Harrows.
So the camp in the mountains, you never even saw that place.
No, because you went up. I never saw that, and you never went down. And I warned you about these ghost charms because they didn't become a thing until the Harrows, because the leader of the Harrows is a religious man, and part of protecting the town was putting up these ghost charms. And ghost charms is ghosts cannot appear, including your wife Antea. So even around town, I had to strategically.
I did run into some of those.
Yeah, you ran.
I didn't know why.
You ran into like one or two of them. This is an entire region
just covered in
constantly. I was having to find a way to because they're making a noise, and when I try to transform, it won't let me. Mm-hmm. Or a switch to Antea, it won't let me. So I had to like strategically walk around town. And they're like, oh, hey, here's your house you can stay at because I know you're a ghost hunter. We're going to use your services. I'm like, cool. The first thing you do when you walk into the house, you shatter the ghost charm so your wife can appear in the house. And then I just strategically walk around and be like, look around and be like, oh, there's a ghost charm up there. I need to use my wife to investigate this building to solve this murder. So I had to like pick up a rock, make sure no one was looking. And it was the entire town and then the entire region. And I was just like, and I warned you about it. I was like, have you encountered these? Like, yeah, like one or two. And you're like, they're not that bad. I'm like, wait until it's the entire, everything that you're doing is trying to break these stupid ghost charms. Yeah. So that was a leading point for me, was having to deal with that nonsense in the Harrows. But like I said, dealing with the people, dealing with the stories was cool. And I wanted to bring up a thing. Because it's just kind of funny how it works, and they draw inspiration from a bunch of different ghost stories and horror stories, but this was my favorite one, just for the sheer fact that it holds a special place in my heart, because the in the Harrows, forget the priest's name, but he has a son named Lamentation. The son's name is Lamentation. All right, and he's going around doing science experiments and studying the mystic arts and stuff like that, because he's actually the one who discovered the ghost charms, and his father, you know, said that he did it or whatever, and it's from the god, so his kid wouldn't get burned as a witch. But as you're going through his whole thing, his particular haunting, his cobbler case, because he's a cobbler in town, but his case, shoe cobbler. But it's for people who know, but his name is Lamentation, and his particular haunting case was called the Hellbound Heart.
Clive Barker,
who's responsible for Hellraiser, and Lamentation, the box, the puzzle box, is called the Lamentation Configuration.
This is all a
Hellraiser reference, and
even the ghost story was, or just
a little
just
bit, the, just, the, just the name. Well, you were trying to like find his mother and free her from hell. It was a little heavy, but the name, both the names references.
Well, the name's a little on the nose then.
Yeah.
His name is a little on the nose.
And I like that.
What's fun and annoying is that you would have got the trigger of the name of that quest right away, and you would have probably gotten excited to see the name of the quest, and then the ghost story itself wouldn't have panned out
as cool as I wanted it to, but it was fine. Like I said, it was good.
They could have done a short version of Hellbound Heart probably within that ghost story.
I may have not have finished it. That's a possibility. But there's so much cool stuff, but then there's also so much nonsense piled on. And you're like, why does every person... I mean, I get that the whole thing of this nightmare is this whole island is haunted because this mist that goes
it's
out.
It's like this one ghost, this one nightmare thing is so...
Powerful.
So powerful that it infects the whole area.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's...
Amplifies.
But it was just like, every person you talk to, you're like, oh, this is going to be a ghost story.
Well, you wanted that. I mean, that's the whole, that's the only quest there were. Yeah, was but like,
then you said you do one town, mm-hmm. you do a second town.
And you do a third
town. You do a third town, and then you're like, I'm not sure, I think I might have finished, because I think I did get the ability. So I think I did beat the heroes. Because each time you beat a big boss, you unlock an additional ability for Antea. And they are, I think I have them here somewhere. Okay, you have, and there are branches you can take, because at any point in time, you can respec your abilities without any, I don't think it costs anything, but you can readjust for what fits you best in combat or what fits best in a combat scenario. The ability is Unveil, Leap, Outburst, Ensnare, and Fusion. But I think the story, no matter what, because I think we both unlocked Ensnare. I think you beating the boss, like when the game splits to go north, go south, whenever you beat the boss, it still gives you
the same following. Skill.
Yeah. So I think we got all the abilities all the way up to Ensnare. And then there's like little nodules inside you, like, do you want to do Riposte or do you want to focus more on red abilities or
I feel like they're negligible.
Yeah.
Skill tree was kind of negligible.
It just depends on what kind of worked slightly better, or certain things are like, Ensnare lasts longer, or your gun can break blocks and stuff like that. It was negligible, and enemy blocking was just, that's another thing that bothers me. That's not just this game, that's in most games.
You're playing another game right now?
I'm playing another game right now.
Say the game, Risen?
It's called, it's an older game, it's called Risen by Piranha Bytes.
Who I think was recently killed by Embracer Group.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, ironically, a couple months ago, I think Piranha Bytes was closed by Embracer Group. Anyway.
That sucks. but like, a lot of sometimes people just don't understand difficulty. Like, if I'm playing on easy, a child should be able to beat it.
We've had the conversation.
We've had these conversations.
Yeah. No developer understands difficulty. The only one that seems to understand difficulty, ironically, is From Software, but they understand what makes something hard and fair at the same time. They understand that. Nobody understands what easy mode is.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Exactly.
There's not a somebody write in, name a developer who understands what a game being easy means. That means I don't ever, not for one instance, do I want to struggle. I want to murder things quickly and see the story. That's what I want. So stop putting difficulty in games called story mode that I can die in the first battle.
Yeah.
Stop doing
unless
that.
Unless I'm supposed to die in the first
that's
battle.
That's different.
Yeah.
But like, I'm tired of clicking on story mode and struggling in combat.
Yeah.
If I want to just experience the story of a game, and that's a big conversation. Difficulty has been a big conversation where people think that From Software should put difficulty options and blah, blah, blah. No, they shouldn't. You should know what you're getting into. But these generalized combat games like this or anything like that, or Vampire, we played Vampire on easy and got my ass handed to me constantly. So like, let me have to figure that stuff out. And also, I don't know about this game, but you talked about in Risen, that's two different games. Whoever thinks that enemy that can block infinitely is a good idea.
Yeah.
You don't think the AI is going to just do that constantly?
Constantly block. And I think that at least in this...
I don't always... You're like, oh, just hit the block break attack. Do the combo that does the break. If I'm playing on easy, I don't want to do that combo. I don't. I want to hit X until stuff dies and get to the next ghost story or in whatever game, the next plot line. I'm playing on story mode. I don't want to have to whip out XX triangle square right bumper left right up square to like, you know, I said two different controllers.
Yeah.
To like break a guy's block when I should hit him once or twice and they should just die so I can move on to the part that I want to see.
Yeah. I'm not playing your game for the combat. That's why I clicked story mode.
Story mode.
Yeah.
You know? There was there's some game recently that I won't be able to pull it. Some game recently lets you skip somebody did something where you just like, you hit a button, you just win. Like you pause and you just hit a button and you just win the combat and you just move on.
Oh God!
Okay. God, there's some developer who did that recently. We haven't played the game yet. Hmm. Apparently, you can hit start and just like hit win, and you just go to the next. Like, I want to do the next thing. I want to go see the next thing. That's an interesting take. People will complain that, oh, that's not fair for all the people who want to play through the game, and like other people say online, like it's an option. Fight the fight.
Yeah.
Nobody's making you hit start and skip. You know what I mean?
But
we're getting way off in the weeds.
It's like the, because you still get the achievement.
I get that.
And other people are like, well, I worked for my achievement.
So, okay. Achievements are pointless. I think I got the 1K in Control. I didn't like Control at all. I got the 1K because built into that game, in the options, is invulnerability.
Yeah.
So I got the same 1K anybody else would have, if I got the 1K. I got the same one anybody else. And that's different, you know. Should it turn off achievements, which it does in some games? Mm-hmm. Should invulnerability turn off achievements? Yeah,
probably
for a game like that. Probably. I played all the way through Control like anybody else did, but I was invulnerable the whole time. Still didn't like the game because the combat was irritating in that game too. So should it disable achievements? Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Would I have played Control all the way through invulnerable, not getting achievements? Probably not. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have turned it on, got mad in the combat, and never played the game all the way through, which is about the same experience as playing through the whole game and not liking it anyway. Yeah. Whole different conversation. But anyway, blocking infinitely is bad, you know. Yeah. But playing on easy, you should never have to.
You shouldn't struggle.
Yeah, I'm sure bigger to talk to developers about like what it takes like to make, because a lot of people think. You get the opposite side where, like, when you ramp up difficulty, enemies just have more HP and they hit harder. That's not fun. That's just longer and more irritating.
Yeah.
That's not difficulty. It's just irritating.
I'm not playing your game for the combat because it's...
Well, people who want harder games. Yeah. Like, there's very few games that change how the AI plays based on your difficulty. We're having a whole different conversation here. We got to get back to Banishers.
Yeah.
People like tangents, but like this is us just whining about games being too hard when we want them to be easier.
We're too old to get good. Well, that's the other thing too. It's like as I'm getting older, I'm just like, man, I'm older, I'm slower, my reflexes aren't as fast. Like, and I want to enjoy the hobby that I'm spending thousands of dollars on.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to see the end of games.
Exactly. I don't want to be one of those people. Well, that's the other thing too. Nowadays, is one of the biggest problems in video gaming that they've started
completion.
Well, it's people don't complete things, but when people, developers of games have even said they put the most effort in the first 20% of the game, and in hopes that first 20% will be enough for people to play. But like even like when you play on me and Drew, we do still hunt down achievements and trophies
a little bit.
But like when you look at a game and the drop off, you're like, oh, 98% of the people who play this game get this achievement for beating like the first boss or doing this. But then you look at like how many people beat the game, it's like 18%. Because no one beats games anymore. People play and then the second they get bored, they drop it. Or there's too many games out, everyone just keeps moving on to the new hotness.
I think the craziest figure I ever saw was like the 9%. This is way back when, but it was like under 10% for the beating Last of Us 1 trophy.
Yeah,
which was mind boggling,
crazy.
Like one of the biggest games at the time, and like nobody less than 10% people see this dude to the end of the first Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like what in the world? But anyway,
yeah, it's,
yeah. Yeah, you will see like a drop off on any video game, especially. We like those the chapter achievements, and you'll see like, you know, like you 80 and 50 and then 10. Like you, like there's a drop off of people like competing games. Yeah,
yeah.
We try our best to like beat. We try.
This is being an example of we didn't try hard enough. Just because I was tired of. I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to Well, also the reward cycle for doing this. Like you're like going through all these quests, and you're like, hey, here's equipment that I'm not going to use.
Okay. So. We plan ahead our games on the podcast. I'm not going to say the name of the games. So we did not. So the next game on the podcast we didn't beat. But thankfully for people, just so you know, the 1, 2, 3 games after that for the next three episodes after next episode's another we didn't beat it. But that's gonna be with Brian.
Yeah.
Three games after that we did beat. Thankfully, but then there's another game after that we didn't beat. And almost didn't beat that game for the same reason we didn't beat this game.
Yeah.
But I'll show you exactly
which one you're talking about.
Yeah. But we did. We thankfully will have three episodes in a row of games we did complete. So don't worry about that.
Yeah. That being said, like I said, I have a lot of like, you know,
I want to like get some.
I'm lamenting.
We've said both good and bad. I want to get more. I want to push like people need to play this game.
Yeah. Okay. So right here's a really cool thing. The there's this thing called the Scourge. It's your first major boss fight of the Darkwood. All right. Yeah. So it's really early, and as you're investigating, because you're dealing with what's her name?
That leader. Those two sisters.
It's Twisters. It's twin sisters, I think. No, oh. It's older and younger sister.
Yeah, they're not twins.
But it's Kate Newsmith, and then her older sister, who has become like the lead. She's like the lead hunter of New Eden, who's your boss, and you find out her name, but everyone calls her Thick Skin. It's Kate and Thick Skin Newsmith. And as you're going through, part of the story reveals that there, as they were fleeing from New Eden Town, there was a choice that Thick Skin made, and it was either survive. It was either have everyone perish because they didn't have enough supplies, enough people to make it, or she like willingly sacrificed half the group without anyone knowing.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
It turns out that she had like a, it wasn't even magical, but she had like a dog whistle that she had acquired, and they didn't have any dogs, but it drew stuff in the area. So what she did was she blew, humans can't hear it, so she blew it to call a bunch of wolves to camp to try to kill the weak and sick that they didn't have supplies for, mm-hmm. that were wasting valuable supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And so she blows the whistle, calls all the wolves in this local area that attack the camp, and so everyone is forced to flee, grab what they can, and flee and leave behind the people. And those remaining people do survive and make it to a campsite, which they fortify, and you know. Mm-hmm. But her entire leadership and survival of the people is built on her killing half their group, willingly killing half their group. And with the thing you encounter. The spirit is called the Scourge, and it's literally an amalgamation of all the tortured,
all the people that died because of her.
It's a really cool combination of the angry and betrayed spirits and beasts, because some of the animals died too, and they were called into an ambush to die. And so it's this really cool creature, and it's really cool. And then figuring out that story, and you're like,
it's awesome.
Do I forgive this person? Mm-hmm. Or do I blame them because it's 100% their fault? And depending on, you know, obviously all your choices are pre-set out depending on the path you're going to pick. But she's one of the few ones that I was like, well, I'm blaming you. I don't feel wrong. I don't feel wrong at all. But then her sister hates you. And then that affects the whole, how the rest of the settlement kind of sees you and stuff like that. But that was genuinely a really cool thing. You're like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to do it three more times.
Yeah, different plot lines, but
that was really cool. Like that was when I was like loving the game, and I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to do more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, I can't wait to do more of this. But that first, like the Dark Woods, and the game is really cool. The stories are really cool there. Heck, even like this, like the core opening, like when you go to encounter the nightmare, has like a really cool cutscene or whatever. And she has this, there's like a little, I don't even know what you call it, like a spring ditty. I don't even know. But there's a really cool, like nice, like happy-go-lucky spring tune that's like playing as you're going up to the schoolhouse where the nightmare is.
Mm-hmm.
And then that whole intro of where the nightmare is, because I think there's something, I don't remember the whole concept thing, but and Taya has already been killed. No, I don't think she's been killed yet. But you get there, and he's like, there's evil here, there's something here. And the ghost, she's like, there will be no happiness, there will be no light. She's like, there will be only defilement. And she takes her finger and pokes red right into like the heart, like she's about to kill him. And then Antea comes up, does her little magic thing or whatever, blocks the attack. And there's this like really like just the the spatial audio that they use. This scream that she does like reverberates. And as she screams, the shockwave shoots out and shatters all the pews. And then you get your first like boss fight. And it's just it's all set up beautifully. Mm-hmm. The game looks awesome.
Yeah, we talk about how we said like Don't Know, it's pretty close to AAA. Like that, the game looks incredible.
The game is gorgeous. The game mm-hmm. is beautiful. The voice acting is grade A. I don't think any single person. I was like, I don't care about this particular. I don't care about this performance. Like all the everything is good. It's the minor stuff that adds up.
Piles and piles and piles.
Just because, like I said, like something simple as. Oh, I've come across an abandoned cabin in the middle of the woods. Now I got to spend 10 minutes trying to figure out how to get inside. I should just be able to kick the door.
Yeah, and to pick up an item that I don't really need.
Yeah, and
once you get inside.
Yeah, well, because that's the other thing too, is like you go through all this stuff and the reward cycle. Mm-hmm. Was like, ooh,
so is the loot? I don't remember. Like, so
I think the loot's all predetermined.
Is it? Because I do prefer predetermined loot as opposed to random. I don't know if it's because you can go. What kind of loot do you get? Because is it? Do you have a gun? Don't you? You have a gun and a sword.
You have a gun. Hold on, I have a list here of what the equipment was. Give me just a second.
And different kinds of. I don't know if the clothing was actually armor or just different clothes.
I think your armor. I think everything did visually change.
Yeah, it did visually change. I'm one of their stats attached to.
There were. They visually changed. You had, hold on, I have a list here. Okay. You had your outfit. Then you had Saber and Firebane, which was your because that's how your Riddim of Kraith fought. You had a Saber and a torch. Mm-hmm. And then you had a rifle. And then you had something called a decoction. And then for.
Concoction is just healing, though, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And then for Antea, you had an amulet, an armband, a brooch, and... Okay, I did that wrong. Okay, yeah, outfit. Sorry. Outfit, saber, rifle, and bane ring for Red. And then you had the healing item, the decoction. And then for Antea, you had an amulet, armband, and a brooch. And each one... Well, the other thing, too, is there's a set limit. Like, every weapon had a specific skill that it was not designed for in combat. Now, if you didn't even use that particular ability, you just ignored that weapon. Mm-hmm. And you could upgrade. Every single weapon had an upgrade. And it was a color coordinated. The when Grandma burps, Patrick obeys. It's the white, green, purple, blue, purple, orange. That's the... Mm-hmm. And so depending, and you would upgrade it through the colors, and then you would get stat boost. You would get, I think, even boost. It would be like, ooh, 10% chance of this, 15%, 20%. Mm-hmm. And depending on, so like a lot of the time, I just kept the same ones because that's the combat that I was using. And I'm like, oh, I got a new weapon, and it has an ability that's for a skill that I don't have because I don't use that skill in my tree. So cool, I'm not using that.
Yeah, and a lot of picking up stuff you didn't need.
So, yeah.
And a lot of picking up. So, you need materials. I remember you need materials to upgrade this stuff. So you spent 10 minutes getting into a freaking house to pick up an item that's just a material, which you need the materials, but like.
Fine. You're like, oh, I'm not going to upgrade this to rare because I'm not going to use that weapon. So, that was a waste of 20 minutes. Like I said, the reward cycle was. Like you said, having a set thing is fine. Mm hmm. And I kind of, like you said, I sometimes prefer that for
random loot, man. We should.
It ruined.
We're stuck in a world of random loot, and it's so lame.
I hate random loot. But I said there's so much good about the game, but there's also like it's the tiny stuff that just piles and piles and piles on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to. I don't want to talk in circles. But is there any other? You've had more of them because you have better memory than I do about this stuff. Is there any more that I want to? Kind of end on a good notes if we can, because it's. I wish more people had played it. Maybe you would have got more notice, but like I can see why nobody. Lots of folks just don't see it through to the end.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think it got a recent PS5 Pro patch. If it makes it look or play any better than what it already did. I don't remember having any, again, a high quality developer. I didn't really run into any issues, no graphic issues, no weird glitches, no crashes, stuff like that, which we don't bring up too often unless we run into like a lower budget thing that has issues.
And the funny thing is, like I'm talking about there being a whole lot,
Counting stuff.
Yeah, there's haunting cases for each town. I think they have them divided up fairly evenly because there's 25 total haunting cases, but some of those will have an epilogue, or you know, they have part A, part B, depending on if you banished or not. Then they will have epilogues. And you're like, 25. That doesn't seem like that bad, and you're like, it's not. And I just don't know what it was. I just, like you said, like the I was just tired of playing. Mm-hmm. I'd gotten everything that I thought I wanted to get out of the game, but I was like, I haven't beat the story, but I don't want to do this anymore. But like I said, it doesn't sound big in theory. And maybe if you just kind of, I don't say rush through, but if you like pinpoint focus.
I mean, even if you weren't doing everything, you still have to run across the maps. I don't know. Like, you got to really think about, like, the game's too big in the first area.
Yeah. And your ability to fast travel helps, and the fact you're able to do that almost immediately from
any campfire,
from the get-go. But even there weren't enough, because even once you fast travel, you still have to traverse, and you're just like
over and over again to the same areas.
Yeah, even with the fast travel points, they weren't close enough together to, like, there should have been either more fast travel points or just make it a slight bit easier to traverse the area. Because everything was a puzzle. Mm-hmm. To have to, like, you're like, oh, cool, I fast traveled to this camp. How do I get back down? And you're like, okay, I got to go down this rope and then zigzag down this cliff. And you're just like, why can't I just appear on the ground?
Do you have the ghost jump, too? You start trying to ghost, having to ghost jump places, which looks cool the first time you do it. Then you have to repeatedly ghost jump across places over and over, the same ghost jump over and over again, because you're running back and forth across the areas. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I don't want to end. I don't want to end on a
dour complaining note. One of the funny things, we just talked about it, these campsites that you set up, and there are story points. Because campsite is basically like the Dark Souls of it all. It's where you upgrade your equipment. It's where you, I think you can do your abilities anywhere. But, you know, it's where you
do everything.
Yeah. And then one of the things is you can rest day, night, or it's where you travel. And there are story points. And it's cute, but it's also unsettling. Mm-hmm. It's because Red McCraith is human and he has to sleep. And so they do this like time lapse thing of him like going to sleep and rolling over, and Entei is a ghost and she doesn't sleep, and so it just shows her like hyper, it's like, you know, time lapse, like I said, hyper fast forward. So it starts with y'all laying down together, and then she gets bored, so she sits up, and then she walks around the room. She can't really interact with things, so she gets bored, she stares out the window, she comes back, and then she sits down, and then she's just staring at you, watching you sleep. It starts out sweet and gets creepy, and it was like sweet and creepy every time it did that animation. Mm-hmm. And it was just, like, I think that is worth mentioning, that it is, you know, they are in love. It is a love story, and it is a good love story, because they genuinely love each other, but I also think that they maybe broke some rules or something, because she's supposed to be training him to be a banisher as well, to separate, but then she's like, I love you.
I also forgot to mention that the other ghosts can see her, but a lot of the times when you're having conversations with humans, more than half your conversations are with people, living people, that they can't see her. And she can say, I think she says things to Brad. I also think she can sense and see things that he can't see.
She can sense their aura. She's like, they're lying. Or she can be like, there's like a bad, he's like, do you smell? Because like, it's one of those things, is like, he should be able to point it out, but he's also a rookie banisher. Like, he's not as well trained as she is. But she'll be like, "Huh, I can." She's like, "I sense the smell of
decay or whatever."
And he'll be like, "Okay," because he can smell that. Maybe
he uses what she says in the conversation, which is done pretty well.
And then sometimes she just talks dirty.
She just says stuff. Yeah,
she's like, "Oh, this person's style is atrocious," and he's like, "That's not the information that I need." And they're like, "What'd you say? Nothing. Don't worry about it." Like, sometimes he'll like, he'll comment, and then they'll comment on his comment. It is kind of funny. I do like that. The way when you do the investigations was really kind of cool. But it was also, for me, you haven't played, but for me it was like doing the Batman Arkham stuff, or like, let me investigate this crime scene, put on my visor and look around for, and you know, it's kind of like that when you you'd walk around as Red, you'd pick up everything that you think you could pick up, and then you would switch to her and then follow the ghost trails or the ghost.
She's kind of her ghost powers. It's kind of like the bat visor.
Yeah, the bat visor for investigating the crimes, and it would highlight areas that had an essence of decay.
Would you enjoy this game more if it had Arkham combat?
Maybe.
I know Arkham's combat's not very complicated, but
it's more simplistic combat. Like every, because it's.
Let's go back to complaining again.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm trying not to, but the when the combat worked, it was very smooth. Mm-hmm. When it worked,
combat wasn't not smooth. It just wasn't fun.
It was, yeah,
and overwhelming.
Well, yeah, it's a losing. You're like, what is a losing fight if you're going against the blah blah blah? I'm like,
that's not the style the game was going for. The game just has an overabundance of every fight, overabundance of fights, and overabundance of what's in a fight. But we already said that.
Yeah.
Can we wrap it up? Because we can't seem to talk about it very long without ending back on a negative note.
I think that's probably the problem.
That says a lot about the whole experience. I guess. So the
general overposited is there was one other thing I wanted to notate that I thought was kind of funny worth mentioning is you do. There's a new elite enemy type. These basically a draugr. These like spirits that repossess corpses.
Mm-hmm.
In the
happens
year.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. But the first time you encounter one, you're on your way to one of the new towns, and Red's walking along, la la la, and he's frolicking in the meadow, and he steps on a rope trap and gets caught and slung upside down. He's screaming for help because this thing is slowly walking towards him. And he's like, help me, help me. And then this person in like a nearby cabin who is trying to hide from the monster ends up shooting the rope and saving you or whatever. And it kind of goes along. But I'm like, hold on a tick. Part of your equipment is you have a rifle, a firebrand, which is like a torch, and you have your cutlass. You're obviously someone who works out because you have to maintain peak physical condition to battle these ghosts and be in these situations. Why can't you do one sit-up and cut your rope?
Just one random thing you're bringing up.
Yeah. I just thought, I was like, it threw me. I was like, you, huh? I'm climbing mountains. I got grip strength like a mofo to climb up on these tiny ledges and I can't grab my pant leg and pull myself up and... A QTE event, but it made it into like a little comedy. I don't think it even made it comedy, but it forced you to have an interaction with other people. I see why they did it, but I'm like, why can't your character just cut his own rope? But yeah, I just bring it up because I took note of it, and while I was reading the note, it reminded me of it. Again, highlights. Let's just before we talk about anything.
Okay.
All acting performance. All performances, great. Graphically, the game is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Traversal, when you're running around the world, it is pretty, and it does cycle. Does it have a dynamic day-night cycle?
I don't think so.
Or do you have to like sleep? I think you sleep and you make it day or you make it night.
I don't remember running around in the day. I don't remember running around the day and the night, but it's not that big a deal.
Maybe it's just like a perpetual twilight thing.
I have no idea.
The this haunting mist that is... I think while the mist is kind of like Legend of Legaia, while the mist is active, you're more likely to encounter monsters. But you do, as you go through and you start winning the haunting cases and you beat bosses, it does lessen the amount of fog and thus lessening the amount of fights that you get into. There are those arena combats. Those.
Because you need more combat.
Yeah. Like I said, I can't talk enough about how good the graphics were, how good the performances were, how smooth the game did run constantly. Yeah, I didn't encounter any glitches. I never encountered any lag. I don't know if it had the 60 frames a second. I don't know how to look at that stuff, but I just wanted to end on a positive note and just speak. One of the things, because I do have some of the behind-the-scenes people here I can just briefly speak on. The director was a gentleman named Philippe Moreau.
Mm-hmm.
The only other game that gentleman's directed was Vampire.
Okay.
So that may have been, obviously. Now, they had two writers, a lady named Stephanie Boverger. She's written 12 things, some of which include other don't-need properties, such as Remember Me, Vampire, and Tell Me Why. She had two. She had one other one that wasn't Don'tnod thing called Californium. I don't know what that is, but it was a different thing. And their second writer was a gentleman named Devin Doyle. He's only done two things. This might be where a lot of the world building came from. May have been from him because he did this, and the other thing he wrote was Divinity: Original Sin 2.
Like the whole game.
He said it said lead writer for both. So. And that is a world of world building. So that may have been where a lot of the additional story and world building and character building may have come from for that. And then our the music was good. It wasn't our Oliver guy. Mm-hmm. Oliver guy from Vampire and Get Even and a few other games.
It would have worked here.
It definitely would have worked.
It would have worked.
But we still had a good gentleman. His name was Trevor Morris. He's done 89 things, four of which are upcoming. But he does a live action and he does video game music. And a lot of them are, majority of his stuff, at least in the later in his career, are like these period pieces, these like fantasy settings or these like Victorian and stuff like that. So one of his big ones, which I think is a lot of people know, it's a massive success, was that TV show Vikings. Yeah, apparently every episode, I think, 89 episodes of it. Then another show called Reign, R-E-I-G-N, like the reign of people because it was Victorian age, was 78 episodes. He did 33 episodes of The Tudors. And then this is the thing I've spoken about on our brother podcast called the Pillars of Earth. He actually did all the music for that entire miniseries. And then he would go on to do, these are kind of outlanding too, but he did the music for Immortals, the Theseus and the Minotaur with Henry Cavill, and The Hills Have Eyes 2, for whatever reason. And then he did for Netflix, he did all the music for Castlevania and Castlevania Nocturne. So he's like, that's his most recent thing. And for video games, along the same line, as he did all the music for Dragon Age Inquisition, including the DLCs. So he has these big, epic, fantastical scores, good music. And then randomly, two other games he was responsible for doing all the music for was Army of Two and Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, which I thought was strange. But those are some of the earlier ones he's done. But good music, you know, good time. Kudos and congratulations to all the developers and all the developing team. And I hope that they do get to meet with more success.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Oh, and it runs on the Unreal Engine 5. I should have mentioned that. It's always good to talk about engines just because it does.
I had this conversation the other day because of the Death Stranding 2 being one of the handful of games on Decima, and Death Stranding 2 looking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mention the game is still fairly new. I should have mentioned this way, way, way earlier, but it came out for Xbox and PlayStation February 13th, 24. So it's barely a year old. It's like 18 months old. It's not even...
I didn't know it was that new.
Yeah, it's fairly new.
Yeah. All of that stuff should have been mentioned, including the music actually should have been mentioned at the beginning of the episode.
Way earlier, but we were talking about everything and I just got distracted.
Yeah.
But... yeah.
So, quick wrap up. We've said all we're going to say. We're going to talk in the circles. We'll wrap this thing up. I don't have a strong rating for this. I don't have, but I will say a game, as for the whole talk about it, this game could have been like, would be, our ratings don't mean anything. This game would be like an 8 or a 9 if it was 15 to 20 hours long. Because of everything we said, I'll drop this. It has to be down like a six because it's like, we just didn't make it to the end. You know, maybe a 6 is even high for a game we couldn't see through to the end. But it sucks because the potential of the game is so high and it just doesn't get there because you just get bored.
Yeah. Like I said, I agree with a lot of that. I think all the potential is there and I could definitely see that being, you know, every game is someone's favorite. I could see this being someone's favorite game. Yeah. And the way the storytelling, someone could be like, oh, I love how difficult the combat is and I love running around and like having to memorize the paths of how to traverse, you know, I could see all this stuff. And so, like I said, it doesn't take away from the quality. The quality is there. And it's all voice, like I said, it's all voice acted. It wasn't anything, you know, all the performances, again, talking in circles. But I was just going to give it 7 creepy sleeping scenes out of 10.
There you go. That's Banishers. It is a $60 game. So maybe try to find it. I mean, obviously, the amount of content is worth $60, I imagine. 60 to 80 hour game is a massive amount of content for $60. So the game is actually probably, for sheer quality and amount of content, the game's worth $60.
Oh, easy.
If you want to support the developer. We get Gamefly and stuff like that. So what's next for the podcast?
I think we're doing it. Well, people who are paying attention, this is 144.
Mm-hmm.
So 145, we have a co-op endeavors coming up, don't we?
So we'll drag Brian onto this podcast, kicking and screaming the whole way. It takes both of us because he's a big fella.
He is a big boy. What you call a biggin'.
Big old southern boy. So we're going to talk about And I mentioned earlier, it's another game we didn't complete. And this is where we alienate any listenership we have, is we're going to talk about me, Brian, and Blake played Diablo 2.
And our and we experience with that.
And spoilers, we played like two nights and we did not like that game at all. Like, it is the strangest thing. We'll get into that with Brian. We'll probably want to talk about, because our history with that particular genre, that, you know, the ARP, you know, action RPG, I don't know what you call it, isometric RPG.
Yeah, I think isometric.
That genre, me and Blake are big.
It's a Diablo-like.
A Diablo-like, but this is actually Diablo. The term Diablo-like comes from Diablo 2.
Yeah.
It is the grandfather of the entire genre. And we'll get into that, why we didn't like it. I want to get into, we don't know Brian's history with the Diablo franchise or Diablo-like genre. We don't know Brian's history. That'd be good for the podcast. Me and Blake will share our history with the genre and that game, because we've played Diablo 2 and 3. So we dabbled in 1 back on the PlayStation 1.
Way back in the PlayStation days. Yeah.
So we'll talk about all of that on the next podcast. So Diablo it is. But after Diablo, we will have, like I said, we'll have a batch of games we've completed, so don't worry. That's all I got. Well, not all I got. Oh, we want to thank Jared and the guys of Emerge. I need to learn the rest of their names.
I know one of them's name is Cody.
Cody, because we met him at the show. Follow them on all their social media. They got more tours, more dates and stuff coming up, because we ran into Jared again recently at a different show that he was playing guitar at. This local show was really fun. Not going to go into that, but he was there playing song. Ran into Jared, talked to Jared for a bit. He says they got some other, you know, follow him on social media. They got some other shows already in the bag coming up. He said, you know, he's always constantly working the grind, trying to land him some more shows. So just keep an eye out on our social media. The new song Brian played on the last episode, Tolerance, you know, keep spinning it. Mm-hmm. The other songs they have released too, in between albums, they have like three songs out right now that aren't on an album yet, or maybe they're building towards an album. So listen to all those songs. Listen to the actual album itself. Send them love from us. Go to the shows. Buy the merch. You know, really, really love these guys. Of course, Milot Markovic, a.k.a. Devious Pixel, the artistic face of this podcast. Send him some work. Send him some love. Listen to his episode 70, where we interviewed him on our podcast. We talked about art and video games in general. He's a really, really fun guy to talk to. You know, you always worry, like, what kind of content you're going to have for an episode of a podcast. And he was really interesting guy and fun to talk to about video games and stuff. So that's what I got. And I'll see you again when we talk about Diablo. Toast.
I did a little bit of self-promotion on my part. We do have a brother podcast, which I briefly spoke about earlier, called Suspension of Disbelief. It's me and our good buddy Steve, where we take turns semi-surprising one another with movies that we don't discuss to record, so that our opinions don't influence the other. We do deep dives into, you know, actors and directors and writers and composers and DPs and stuff like that. It's a really good fun time. Please go check that out. I do have a short story that I self-publish on Amazon called They Come This Night. I'm incredibly proud of that. Please go rate and review that. And please come check out all our YouTube stuff. Like, I've been doing some pretty good stuff. Like, I'm getting better at editing and stuff like that. So please go check that.
Loose editing.
So please go check that out. And yeah, I just want to thank everybody for joining us. And I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.